From NPR and Chicago Public Radio, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Carl Castle, and here's your host at the Brown Theater at the Wortham Center in Houston, Texas, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Carl. Thank you, everybody. Thank you, everybody. Wow. Thank you. Thank you so much for the Texas-sized welcome. We are so glad to be visiting Houston for the first time. Now, this city, this great American city, has its crosses to bear. There is this stereotype that it's just an endless series of highways lined with strip clubs and gun ranges. This is ridiculous. It is not true. There are also strip gun ranges. I recommend tipping those girls really, really well. The newly elected mayor of Houston, Texas, Anise Parker, will be joining us later to set us straight about those stereotypes. But first, it's your turn. Call us up and answer some questions about the week's news. The number 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. It's time to welcome our first listener contestant. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, this is Chris Bradshaw from St. Petersburg, Florida.
Hey, how are things in St. Pete?
They're good. A little bit warmer than, I guess, the rest of the country.
Don't be smug about it.
Oh, sorry.
So what do you do there?
I'm a fisheries biologist for Florida Fish and Wildlife.
Oh, really? So you're out there seeing how the fish are doing that the people are going out to fish for?
Yeah.
Yeah, how are they doing, those fish?
They're doing pretty well.
Do you ever give in yourself and just eat one of those little guys? Because they're awfully tasty, let me tell you.
I do enjoy a legally caught Florida groupers.
Of course. Well, welcome to the show, Chris. Let me introduce you to this week's panel. First up, a humorist and the author of the new audiobook, It's Just Like I Told You, 25 years of comments and comic pieces available at a download near you, Mr. Tom Baudet.
Hello, how you doing?
Also a comedian whose first CD, I Heart Jokes, is out now, Ms. Paula Poundstone. And finally, it's a hometown girl, a blogger, and the deputy editor of the Houston Chronicle, Ms. Kiri O'Connor.
Hi, Chris.
So, Chris, of course, you're going to start us off with Who's Carl This Time. Carl Castle is going to read you three quotes from the week's news. If you can correctly identify or explain just two of them, you'll win our prize, Carl's voice in your home answering machine. You ready to go?
I'm ready.
All right. We're going to begin with Carl reading a cheat sheet that was in the news this week.
Energy. Budget, no, tax cuts, lift America's spirit.
So that shopping list for a conservative paradise was written where?
That was written on Sarah Palin's hand at the Tea Party.
It was written on Sarah Palin's hand. Very well done. You cannot blame ex-Governor Palin for writing her talking points on her hand for a Q&A at the Tea Party convention. It would have been bad if somebody said, so what would you like to do to America's spirit? And she was like, I don't know, crush it? How about that? Ms. Palin's defenders, such as the hosts of Fox and Friends, say she did this on purpose to subtly satirize President Obama's reliance on a teleprompter. They said that. As for a comment, Ms. Palin said, satirize? Isn't that the day before sun dies?
You know, I would never write my presidential priorities on my hand.
They're Why not?
Way too hard to erase.
That's true. This is true. An odd thing happened during that Q&A that she was preparing for. She was there for a while, and sweat from her palm had smeared the ink, so instead of saying she wanted to lift America's spirit, she said, and I want to list Armenian sports. And the interviewer was like, okay, well, and she blurted out, all of them.
You know, you're being terribly unfair to handwriters. I'm one myself.
Really?
Yeah.
What sort of things do you write in your hand?
I write, you know, go to the bank, you know, pay the bills.
I actually had to side with Sarah Palin on this one.
Really?
Yeah.
I have a very, very bad memory. I write my address and my children's names. And it's not because I don't care. It's because I can't remember. And
didn't care, you wouldn't even write it on your hand.
Well, precisely. I think that her willingness to write it showed that she does care. I totally support her on the handwriting thing.
By the way, this whole thing explains why Palin quit the governorship only halfway through her term. She had run out of limbs. She was actually, before quitting, she actually looked into grafting on another pair of arms for more policy. All right. Here we go, Chris. Here is your next quote.
It's like being the dodgeball victim, and you're the kid who didn't even take off his glasses.
That was a car dealer talking about what it's like to receive a lot of very, very bad press all at once. What automaker is getting pummeled with each news cycle?
That would be Toyota.
It would be. It would be Toyota. Good news, Toyota owners. Your car isn't boring anymore. Where once it was a reliable, steady means of transportation whose only danger was its likelihood of lulling you to sleep. Now at any moment, your Camry could turn into Christine. After weeks of damning revelations about dangerous defects and expanding recalls, the Toyota CEO in Japan apologized. And although it looked like he bowed, that's not what really happened. His torso suddenly accelerated forward on its own. They don't know why. Turns out that over the years, American and Japanese companies have learned a lot from each other. American car companies have learned to be more efficient and inventive. Japanese companies have learned to ignore serious problems with their cars for as long as they can.
Now, I own two Toyotas. I drive one, and my wife drives one. And we keep waiting for the thrill ride. But...
Yeah, you live in Vermont, right?
Yeah.
So if the car lurches forward, what's it going to hit?
No, nothing.
Massachusetts.
No. Yeah, you could take a nap on my road most days.
All right, here is your last quote, Chris.
Where's Al Gore now?
That was Senator Mitch McConnell celebrating the end of global warming this week. It's not true. It's not happening. As proved by what?
The several feet of snow?
Yes, the blizzard, yes, on the East Coast. Good news, people. Our government is not going downhill anymore. Now it's sledding downhill. People reacted to the blizzard of 2010, which smothered Washington, D.C. in predictable ways. Conservatives, as you heard, saw it as proof that global warming is a lie. Then again, they say that every time they find ice in their glass of scotch. In fact, this is great. Since Congress couldn't meet, Republicans and Democrats decided to stage a good-natured, friendly snowball fight in the Capitol grounds. It fell apart, though, early on. The GOP got Steny Hoyer with a good one in the back. And the Democrats responded by asking the United Nations to pass a resolution condemning snowballs. The storm wasn't a complete disaster. Many people whiled away the hours making up funny names for it. Snowpocalypse, Snowmageddon, Snownami. How about the confirmation of Judge Snowtomayor? Snow child left behind.
And President Snowbama.
Of course.
I'm listening. It's a good list.
Carl, how did Chris do in our quiz?
Chris wins our prize, Peter, because he had three correct answers.
Thank you so much for playing.
Oh, thank you.
Bye-bye.
All right, bye.
Snow.
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 It won't be long before we'll all be there with snow.
Snow. Snow. I want to wash my hands, my face and hair with snow.
Right now, panel, time for you to answer some questions about this week's news. Kiri, as part of their effort to get Americans to eat healthier, the FDA is considering a big overhaul. What are they planning on changing?
Portion size.
Exactly right. Serving size. Everybody has done it. Everybody has done it. I have done it. You check out the calories per serving on, say, a packet of Cheetos, right? And you're like, oh, 100 calories a serving, that's not bad. And then you see that one serving is defined in the label as the orange dust left on your right thumb. The FDA believes people can't figure out on their own that they're eating three servings and then multiply the calories. That's right, they think you're fat and dumb. In any event, companies are complying with their packaging. Ben & Jerry's, for example, is now offering their ice cream in standard serving size, American serving size, and just went through a bad breakup size. I mean, really, I mean, other than honesty in packaging, like the big thing of Lay's potato chips and it says serving size, come on, you're going to eat the whole damn thing. We both know it. Calories, you don't want to know.
Yeah, for years I've taken issue with Pop-Tarts. that they say a serving is two tarts.
I've taken issue with them that they say they're food.
Wait a minute.
You know what?
But Paul, that seems very reasonable. How many Pop-Tarts do you eat at once?
Four.
Four? You look at me as if I'm insane. Of course you eat four Pop-Tarts.
Well, they changed the box to having eight tarts now, which has really messed me up. But, you know, traditionally I had four, and then I would say to myself, well, I may as well eat the last two. So really, six.
Because they're just so lonely.
It's just there's no way that two tarts are in any... Because I eat them as a meal.
Oh.
You snack on them?
More or less. But no, even as if I decide I'm going to have Pop-Tarts for breakfast on those rare occasions, two Pop-Tarts, that's the classic. They come in a little packet, two of them. Put them in the two slices of the toaster, the two slots. They come up. It's a...
We got a big toaster oven.
Yeah.
I mean, if it's just a matter of filling the space, I'd have two or three boxes.
Right now, it is time for the Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me Bluff the Listener game. Call 1-888-WAIT-WAIT to play our game in the air. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, this is Marty Craner in North Pole, Alaska.
The North Pole, Alaska? Or North Pole? You didn't say the. It's like North Pole, Alaska.
North Pole, Alaska is the town.
Now, is your town called North Pole because it has some Christmas thing, or is it actually near the North Pole?
No, it's not near the North Pole, but we do advertise that it's Christmas all year.
Oh, that's exciting. That would drive an average person insane, I think, to have Christmas every day.
Well, so will the candy cane painted light pole.
Right. Well, welcome to our show, Marty. You're going to play our game in which you must try to tell truth from fiction. Carl, what is Marty's topic?
Cursed technology. You were supposed to make me happy.
We humans love our gadgets, our MP3 players, our smartphones, our robot girlfriends. But sometimes these devices can be your undoing. Our panelists are going to tell you three stories about people whose gadgets got the best of them. Choose the true story and you will win Carl's voice in your home answering machine. Ready to play?
I am.
First, let's hear from Tom Baudette.
Smartphones and their endless applications have changed the way people live, work, and play. And they will make us dumber than a box of rocks. At least according to Dr. Jonathan Wolfman in this month's Psychiatry Today. Using a case study of his patient David Blistein, whose real name was withheld but we Googled it, Dr. Wolfman argues for the recognition of a new mental disorder he's calling Apsberger's syndrome. Sufferers of Apsberger's are inclined to download and install compulsive amounts of applications and information to accomplish tasks they can already do themselves or live without entirely. Quote, he uses his GPS to drive home to a house he's lived in for 12 years. He'd rather read a movie review on Flixster than actually see the movie. His wife left him after not making direct eye contact with him for 14 months. The smarter his phone got, the worse his life became. The only way to treat Apsberger's, according to Dr. Wolfman, is with learned behavior therapy. Fortunately, there's an app for that.
A psychiatrist discovers the first known case of Apsberger syndrome. Your next story of someone regretting all the technology in their lives comes from Kiri O'Connor.
Pity poor Darren from Winnipeg. He had a great life, happy, in love, until he got a new cell phone. He thought it was just a phone, but then his girlfriend got hold of it and saw its text messages. Booty call? Where you at? Be there soon. Hell hath no fury like a girlfriend with evidence. Poor Darren swore he'd never cheat, never even knew he could text on that phone. The next day, the guys at the phone store laughed at poor Darren until they found that all of those models of phone had the same preloaded text messages. Too late for poor Darren, whose girlfriend threw him out.
Preloaded text messages destroys the relationship of a man in Winnipeg. And your last story of a gadget problem comes from Paula Poundstone.
For most of his life, Reverend Shepherd Peyton relied on his faith in the Lord and his small Bible that he carried in his breast pocket. He was a devoted Methodist minister in Rochester, Missouri. He was an avid outdoorsman and a beloved husband, father. And in the last decade, he discovered and embraced technology with a passion. He Facebooked with his youth ministry. He taught computer skills to the senior members of his congregation. He bet online about the exact day and time of Armageddon, and it was good. He even recently replaced the Bible in his breast pocket with a pocket-sized Kindle. So it was a good thing his faith in the Lord never wavered, because on his very next hunting trip, his excitable golden retriever leaped on his rifle, shooting a hole right through his Kindle and out his back. When he tried to call for help on his iPhone, he couldn't get reception. But some kindly fellow hunters rushed to his aid, and he says now what he last remembers is one leaning over him saying, "Where the hell's your pocket Bible? That would have stopped the bullet clean."
All right, here are your choices. From Tom Baudet, a guy who became so reliant on the apps in his phone that he became the symbol of a new disease, Apsperger syndrome. From Kiri O'Connor, the story of a man whose relationship was destroyed because of some sample text messages that came with his phone. Or from Paula Poundstone, a minister who suffered when he replaced his thick pocket Bible with a thin Amazon Kindle. Which of these is the real story of technology getting somebody in trouble?
Oh, dear. I think I'm going to have to go with Tom.
So you're going to choose Tom's story?
Yes.
Well, we actually spoke to a reporter who had alerted the world to this real incident.
She discovered a number of messages saying some pretty saucy things. But the thing is, these were actually messages that apparently came preloaded on all Virgin Mobile phones.
That was Melissa Martin, who reported on Darren P's troubles with technology for the Winnipeg Free Press. I'm so sorry, Marty, but as you now know, Kiri had the real answer, the story about the sabotaged text messages. You didn't win, but you did earn a point for Tom and Marty. Thank you so much for playing.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And now the game where we invite accomplished people on to do something that barely registers as an accomplishment compared to everything else they've done. Ladies and gentlemen, we are pleased to welcome to our show the newly elected mayor of Houston, Texas, Ms. Anise Parker. Mayor Parker, welcome to Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. What a pleasure to have you.
Thank you.
We found out, is this true? We just found this out before the show, that we are actually on the stage where you were inaugurated. Is that true?
That is true.
Wow. Has anything since then been as much fun, or has it all been downhill?
It's all been downhill.
And that was not long ago. That was like 5-6 weeks ago, right?
January 4th.
January 4th, 6 weeks ago. Elected mayor of Houston.
Yes.
Now, you have been a lifelong resident of Houston. You were in the city council for a long time. But did your life change when you became mayor?
It absolutely changed.
How so?
Well, I have a driver and a security detail now.
Do you really?
I do.
Is that fun or is it a pain?
They're listening.
You're the mayor. They got to take it. Go on.
Well, actually, I have a 14-year-old daughter. My younger daughter's 14, and the first time we went through the Jack in the Box drive-through, and we're in the back seat, and the security detail is ordering in the front, and we have the chase car behind us. She thought that was
really cool.
Wait
a minute. You took your mayoral motorcade through a Jack in the Box drive-through? Were you preceded by the chop with the police on motorcycles? They went
working mom thing. I had to feed her something.
Did they have to frisk the clown with a speaker in its mouth? That's hilarious. Wow. So I was making a little joke at the start of the show about the stereotype of Houston, Texas. We think strip clubs, you think oil barons, bankrupt energy concerns. Oh, I'm sorry. Is it too soon?
Yeah.
And what do you want people who are listening to the show to know about Houston that they may not know?
Houston is a very cool place. There you go. It's international. It's multicultural. We have the art car parade here, which happens to be one of my favorites.
Right.
But it's not just that we have an art car parade. You could be sitting at a stoplight and a giant metal chicken is in the lane next to you.
A giant metal chicken.
Or a tiki bar.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Come on now. Y'all have seen these.
Right. Y'all.
Yes.
These are art cars. These are cars that have been decorated lovingly and creatively by
and
their
they
owners.
Are, and they are driven not just on parade day, but...
People drive them around Houston.
Yes.
Just because.
Yes, absolutely. Because.
All right.
Boy,
I'm making a list.
We have a reputation as a kind of stodgy business city, and we are a great business city, but we're a really cool, fun, interesting, international, very arts-friendly city as well.
Right. We were coming in from the airport, and we saw on the way, like six adult video stores, four gun shops, and three billboards for bariatric weight loss surgery. And we were like, this is a fun town. It's already a party, or evidence of having one. So now that you've been, I know you've just been mayor for five years.
We actually have an ordinance that says that if you work in a topless club, you have to wear an ID attached somewhere to you, your whatever
you
you're wearing.
You do not.
You do.
Okay, so let me understand this correctly, because Houston is known for this, for its adult entertainment, and you're saying that you have a law, a city ordinance, that if you are a exotic dancer,
yes,
you have to wear somewhere on your person identification at all times.
Yes.
Okay, and what, Mayor Parker, is the reason that the city of Houston requires strippers to wear visible ID at all times?
I have yet to figure that
really?
Out.
Really? It's just to give it, just to have, so somebody can have the job of checking it?
Probably.
Yeah. It's like, if you if you do really well on the Houston Police Force, you get to check the ID of strippers. If you don't, you have to take the mayor to the Jack in the Box. Is that how it works? I don't know.
That must be it.
I'm obligated.
This conversation really took a bad turn.
Yeah, right? It did. They tend to do that.
But given our show, a rather predictable one.
Hey, we didn't come up with the idea.
I'm obligated to ask you this. You've only been mayor for 5 weeks, but do you have any other ambitions once you've fixed Houston? Once you've gotten Houston made the shining city here, you're going to move on to something else, perhaps? Texas?
No.
The White House? That's been done.
I have a few more years in Houston, and I really am focused on being mayor of Houston. I think local government's the highest form of government there is. And I want you to think about it. You know, if you're, the water flows in the morning and your toilet's flush, your whole day is better, and that's the city of Houston. What higher calling could you have?
You cap that off with a chicken car going by.
It was a great day in Houston.
That's heaven on earth.
My toilet flushed. That car looked like a chicken, and my dancer was officially licensed.
If this doesn't bring tourists to Houston, I don't know what else I can do.
I feel like I can dismiss my security detail and go to bed. Well, Mayor Parker, we have learned a lot from this conversation, but... And already started planning our return trip. But we've also asked you here to play a game that today we're calling...
Oh, you meant that Houston.
Sure, Houston, Texas has got its charms, as we have been discussing, but it's not the only interesting thing with that name. We're going to ask you about three other Houstons of note. Get two right, you'll win our prize for one of our listeners, Carl's voice in their home answering machine. You ready to play?
I am.
Carl, who is Mayor Parker of Houston, Texas playing for?
Peter, the mayor is playing for George Geary of Houston, Texas.
Now, here's your first question. You ready to do this?
All right.
Now, Houston Street in Manhattan, pronounced Houston, spelled like Houston. Nothing to do with Texas. You'd know that if you tried to get any decent barbecue there. But it has a colorful history anyway. In the 1890s, a number of buildings on Houston Street were nearly destroyed by what? A, a flood of cod liver oil from a nearby factory. B, an experiment by mad inventor Nikola Tesla that went haywire. Or C, a mob rioting over the price of rubber.
I'm going to go for the cod liver oil.
The cod liver,
wave of cod liver oil.
Coming down Houston Street.
Right.
People screaming in front of it.
Yeah.
It's an image, but Nikola Tesla. He was trying a new machine, and it generated a frequency that almost shook all the buildings around him down. He smashed it with a sledgehammer just in time. All right, that's no
problem. I have only two more chances.
You have two more chances, but you can do
this.
You're
going to lose me a vote here. I get the feeling wrong.
Most people, including elected officials who've come on our show and failed, have found it has improved their public image. Some have used it in campaign ads. All right. Here's your next question. Legendary movie director and actor John Huston was known for living pretty large and his frequent habit of getting married and then divorced and then married again. He divorced one of his five wives for what reason? A, she wouldn't let him keep his pet monkey. B, she said of his hated rival Daryl Zanuck, quote, oh, he isn't so bad sometimes. Or C, she was of Scandinavian descent and he insisted that she smelled too strongly of herring.
Okay, let's go for the Daryl Zanuck comment.
Daryl Zanuck, so she said something nice about
his
man
rival.
He hated just once, just like, oh, just he's not so bad. And that's it, you're out.
Yeah.
That's what you're saying?
I'm saying
you
that.
Take the chicken car and leave, he said.
That's right.
You're certain about that.
I'm certain about that.
You're absolutely certain about that, even though I'm waving my arm in a don't go there gesture. You're just going to stick with that.
I'm going to stick with that.
You're going to show the determination to just sort of proceed. But you're going
to
choose.
I should switch to the monkey? Is that what you're saying?
That would might be a choice.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Oh, all right. All right.
You're going to switch to the monkey? You're right. It was the monkey.
Oh, brilliant. Brilliant.
You got tired?
Oh, wow.
Apparently, the story is she got sick of the monkey. She said, it's the monkey or me. And Huston said, it's the monkey. One more question to go. Get this and you win. Here it is. Your last Huston, of course, singer Whitney Huston. Miss Huston has inspired an avid fan base. Among her many admirers is which of these? A, poultry farmers who find her voice uniquely soothing to chickens. B, Osama bin Laden, who expressed a desire to make her one of his many wives. Or C, former FEMA head Michael Brown, who liked to screen her movie My Bodyguard and say, that's me.
Is it one?
That's it. So here, hold on.
Is it two?
Hold on. I like Osama bin Laden.
Three?
Oh, they don't like that.
No. They're voting for Osama bin Laden.
They are voting for Osama bin Laden.
I'm going to have to go with my audience. It's two.
It's two. You're going to choose Osama bin Laden?
Yeah.
You're right. Osama bin Laden, according to a former associate of his, was obsessed with Whitney Huston for many years and felt she made a poor choice in marrying Bobby Brown.
That's the only guy who could be a worse choice.
Yes, I know.
Can you imagine? He's making his way through the windy passes of the Torbor Highlands, going, I will always love you.
Carl, how did Mayor Parker do in our quiz?
Mayor Parker had two correct answers, Peter, and that's good enough to win for George Geary.
Well done.
Thank you.
Well done. The Honorable Anise Parker is the mayor of the great city of Houston, Texas. Mayor Parker, thank you so much for being with us today. What a pleasure.
Thank you.
Give it up for your mayor, people.
Well, it's lonesome in this old town. Everybody puts me down. I'm a face without a name, just walking in the rain, going back to Houston, Houston, Houston.
Thank you all. In honor of our hosts here in Texas, Carl will sing Rhinestone Cowboy pretty soon. It's our listener limerick challenge. If you'd like to play, give us a call at 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. Right now, panel, some more questions for you from the week's news. Tom, you know that states are strapped for cash. South Carolina has decided to bring in a little extra income by asking whom to register with the state and pay a $5 filing fee.
Oh, what would you call them? The groups that want to overthrow the government, like
yes. Subversive
group. It's brilliant. Go ahead.
Yeah. Attention, terrorists, anarchists, rebels, and other hobbyists. If you're planning to overthrow the U.S. government, please stop by room 322 in the South Carolina State Office Building and fill out form 1060G Part 3. We promise not to share your name with other enemies of the state. This new registration law is aimed at anyone who, quote, advises or practices the duty, necessity, or propriety of controlling or overthrowing the government of the United States, unquote. Controlling the government. Does this mean Goldman Sachs has to register? Now, this seems silly.
Is it true?
It is absolutely true.
Wait, they have to register?
Yeah. No. So all subversives, anybody who is advocating or working toward the overthrow of the U.S. government, has to register with the state of South Carolina.
I think it's about
and
time.
And pay a fine.
Honestly.
Pay a little fee.
You know, think of it. Like, say an Al-Qaeda cell, you know, they drift in, they get through our porous borders, however they do it, and they assemble their little clatch there in South Carolina, and then they register, and you've got them, like right then, you know?
Oh, yeah. You know?
I wonder if we would catch them if they did that.
But if they only have to pay $5 to register?
Yeah.
I mean, if South Carolina makes more than $20 on this deal, this country's in
you're missing the point. If they made it too expensive, these subversives wouldn't register, you see?
They're very budget conscious, the subversive population.
Well, plus, we are a democracy, and we don't want to make these things only available to the rich.
Kiri, for Valentine's Day, the Discovery Channel is premiering a new romantic show. What is it?
Oh, I should know the answer to this, shouldn't I? Discovery Channel, that has all those...
It's the one with the Shark Week and stuff like
that. Yeah, it's romantic.
It's for Valentine's Day. Well, the show is comprised of all the scenes they cut out of Jurassic Park to get its PG-13 rating.
Oh, it's dinosaur sex.
It's dinosaur sex. I kind of just did, didn't I?
Yes, you did.
In fact, the name of the show is Tyrannosaurus Sex.
Wow!
You got to admire their hubris. Reading from the press release here, birds do it, bees do it, and now with the magic of CGI, we can watch dinosaurs do it. No one ever asked us if we wanted to watch dinosaurs do it. After 20 minutes of watching a male T-Rex try to give a romantic massage to his mate with those useless forelimbs, you finally understand why they went extinct.
They couldn't even blow a kiss more than a few feet.
It was terrible. Yeah.
You know, dinosaurs used to be one of the safest places that I could go with my kids.
And now
story time or TV time.
It's all over.
Anyway, this is part of a trend misguided, in our view, among cable programmers to try to attract audiences by focusing more on sex. It's led to some terrible ideas. For example, the History Channel announced a new miniseries, Love Nazi Germany Style. CNN has a new show, The Really Awkward Situation Room. And the Family Channel's unfortunate new reality show, The Night You Were Conceived. Coming up, it's Lightning Fill in the Blank, but first it's the game where you have to listen for the rhyme. If you'd like to play on air, call or leave a message at 1-888-WAIT-WAIT, that's 1-888-924-8924, or click the Contact Us link at our website, waitwait@npr.org. While there, you can check out our blog, be fed by our Twitter feed, and find information about attending our weekly live shows at the Chase Bank Auditorium in Chicago or our upcoming show in New Orleans on March 11th. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. Hi, who's this?
This is Marietta in Cleveland, Ohio.
Hey, how are things in Cleveland?
Cold.
Yeah.
Cold.
It's been cold all over. What do you do there in Cleveland?
I'm a sign language interpreter at Cuyahoga Community College.
Really? Mm-hmm. Do you have a favorite subject you like to interpret?
I love English, which is odd because sign language and English are completely different languages.
Yes.
But
I mean, you like English class?
Yes, I do. Okay. I enjoy it very much.
Right. Okay. I mean, when you get into, like, science classes, does it get kind of... difficult because you have to translate all these scientific terms, spell them out with your fingers?
Yes, I've only had to do one biology course, and it was much deeper than I really wanted to go, but it was interesting. It was a challenge.
Right.
How about Tyrannosaurus sex?
Yeah. Well, welcome to the show, Marietta. Carl Castle is going to read you three news-related limericks with the last word or phrase missing from each. If you can fill in that last word or phrase correctly, and two of the limericks will be a winner. Ready to play?
I certainly am.
Here's your first limerick.
When you speak, I lean in till my back's bent. I can't tell what those ticks, grunts, and clacks meant. My friend from New York, whenever you talk, I pray that you'll lose your thick
accent.
Right. In the good old days, New Yorkers would abuse you with a genuine New York accent. You know, New York. But now, with all the foreigners and southerners and kind people moving there, the city is losing some of its sort of genuine charm. To stop the decline, linguists are suggesting that people drop their R's, slur their vowels into diphthongs, and they've also created some Bronx immersion schools among the lessons there. Instead of saying, you're welcome, you say, forget about it. Instead of saying, excuse me, you say, you talking to me? And instead of saying, thank you, you punch them in the face. New York. All right, here is your next limerick.
After Avatar, 3D's our passion. Let's give models a share of that ration. Down the catwalk they go, and 2D just won't show all the depth and nuance of
fashion.
Right. Sure, we've seen fashion shows on TV, but soon, for the first time ever, we'll practically be able to reach out and lacerate ourselves on the model's razor-sharp clavicles. Following the success of Avatar in 3D, British fashion house Burberry plans to stream 3D runway shows online during Fashion Week. An initial test of the system seemed to be a failure until producers realized the models being filmed were themselves not three-dimensional.
I don't get the excitement about 3D.
You don't?
I really don't. I see it all the time.
Yeah. Yeah, you go to the movies to get out of the real world.
Yeah,
exactly.
Right.
You know, so someday we're gonna crave just a flat screen experience. You know, where we don't feel that things are coming at us. Yeah. Plus, they have a tendency to write the story so that, you know, there's more projectiles.
Yes.
You know, which I don't think serves every film.
Right. So, for example, if Ingmar Bergman had made his films in 3D, people would have been depressed right at you.
Exactly.
All right. Marietta, here is your last limerick. Okay.
The old knight who has sheathed his quick sword and the spouse who is often ignored. Most folks laid on ice turn to snack foods and vice. It is bad for our health when we're
bored.
Right. Turns out all those meetings about quarterly sales you've been having, they really are shortening your life. According to researchers at University College London, the perpetually bored are 2.5 times more likely to die earlier than those annoying people who can be amused by anything. I hate them. In reaction to the study, the federal government has declared that public radio is now a Class 3 controlled substance.
Yeah, I see. I always remember the boys in school that would fold their paper up to make it this triangular thing and play this football game.
Yeah, kick the football with your finger. Yeah,
they live forever.
Right. Carl, how did Marietta do in our quiz?
Marietta had 3 correct answers, Peter, so she wins our prize. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Well done.
Thank you.
Now on to our final game, Lightning Fill in the Blank. Each of our players will have 60 seconds in which to answer as many fill in the blank questions as he or she can. Each correct answer now worth 2 points. Carl, can you give us the scores?
Tom Baudet has the lead, Peter. He has 4 points. Gary O'Connor has 3. Paula Poundstone has 2.
All right, Paula. You are in third place. You're up first. The clock will start when I begin your first question. You ready?
I'm going to be honest with you, Peter. This is not my strength.
I appreciate that, but nonetheless, we're still going to make you do it.
All right.
Here we go. Fill in the blank, Paula. The opening ceremony for the 2010 Winter Olympics in blank was held Friday.
Vancouver.
Right. A judge said Thursday he will recommend that the American missionaries being detained in blank be released while investigations continue.
Haiti.
Right. Claiming to have produced its first batch of enriched uranium, blank declared itself a nuclear state.
Iran.
Right. This year's broadcast of the Super Bowl beat out the final episode of blank to become the most watched U.S. telecast ever.
MASH.
Right. A man in Michigan told police that he was robbed at gunpoint after he blanked.
After he got high.
After he tried to buy his drugs with a credit card.
Can you not do that?
Fred Morrison, the man who invented the blank after throwing a pie tin around with his girlfriend, died at the age of 90.
Frisbee.
Right. Saying that it's just too slow, Google announced plans to offer super fast blank access.
Internet.
Yeah, internet access. The head of an ambulance service in Britain said this week that paramedics who flout the rules and insist on blanking will lose their jobs.
Who flout the rules and insist on driving?
Who insist on wearing novelty socks. The bosses at Northwest Ambulance Service have had it with paramedics wearing colorful socks with cartoon characters on them at work. The paramedics objected. They said, quote, it's not like there's an epidemic of novelty sock wearing. But it doesn't help that the favorite cartoon characters among the EMTs are characters like Coffin Man, Cardiac Arrest Boy, and the lady who tells you to walk towards the light. Carl, how did Paula do in our quiz?
Paula had 6 correct answers, Peter. For 12 more points, she now has 14 points and the lead.
Well done, Paula.
Well, if we stop right here, I feel good about my chances.
Kira, you're up next. Fill in the blank. Here we go. The White House announced this year that it expects the economy to add 95,000 blanks this year.
Jobs.
Right. 77-year-old Pennsylvania Representative Blank died Monday after complications from gallbladder surgery.
John Martha.
Right. Saying numbers have tripled in the past 30 years, Michelle Obama launched a nationwide campaign to fight against childhood blank.
Obesity.
Right. After experiencing chest pains, Blank was hospitalized and had 2 stents inserted.
Bill Clinton.
Right. A man in Massachusetts was arrested at a Bath and Body Works store when a clerk spotted him with Blank.
Clerk spotted him with lots of bottles of stuff down his pants.
Exactly, 75 bottles of body lotion.
I made that up.
Did you?
In an interview on Larry King Live, Joe Biden said that he likes Blank and she has a great personality, but that some of her ideas are, quote, far out there.
Sarah Palin.
Right. The Texas congressman whose life was the subject of a Tom Hanks movie, Blank, died at age 76.
Charlie Wilson.
Right. Police in Phoenix were able to track down men who allegedly robbed a pizza man by blanking.
They dressed as mushrooms.
Following a trail of pizza and chicken wing sauce. The 2 thieves bopped the pizza delivery man over the head, grabbed his pizzas and wing sauce, not realizing they were leaving a tasty trail right to their hideaway. Police knocked at the door, and the driver was easily able to identify the culprits, primarily because one was completely covered in sauce. Carl, how did Kiri do on our quiz?
Kiri had 7 correct answers for 14 more points. She now has 17 points, and Kiri has the lead.
Well done.
Nice.
So how many, then, does Tom need to take it away?
7 correct answers.
Oh.
7. All right, Tom, here we go. This is for the game. Fill in the blank. Republicans were skeptical of President Obama's plans for a televised summit to discuss blank reform.
Healthcare.
Right. A poll released Wednesday shows that 66% of Americans think the military's blank policy is discriminatory.
Don't ask, don't tell.
Right. Dr. Conrad Murray was charged with involuntary manslaughter in the death of pop star blank.
Michael Jackson.
Right. On Thursday, South Africans celebrated the 20th anniversary of the release of political prisoner blank.
Nelson Mandela.
Right. The mayor of Carson, California is under investigation for using the blank to silence opposition during council meetings.
Using the police.
The mute button. Fishing boat captain Phil Harris, star of the Discovery Channel series Blank, died at age 53.
Deadliest Catch.
Right. One of the most talked about ads from this year's Super Bowl featured David Letterman watching TV with Blank and Blank.
Oprah and Jay Leno.
Right. Karaoke bars in the Philippines have had to tighten security and alter playlists because of violence erupting over Blank.
Tighten security and altered playlists. Whitney Houston.
No. Bad renditions of the Frank Sinatra song, My Way.
Well, that'll do it.
According to the New York Times, Filipinos may be reacting violently to the arrogant tone of the song lyrics. I've lived a life that's full. I did it my way. As a result of the violence, several potential offensive songs have been banned from karaoke machines, including I Am Iron Man, It's Good to Be King, and the classic, People Who Go to Karaoke Bars Are Losers. Carl, did Tom do well enough to win?
Well, Tom needed at least 7 to win, but he had 6 correct answers. So with 17 points, Kerry O'Connor is this week's champion.
Kerry!
Well done.
Well done, Kerry. Hometown pride. In just a minute, we're going to ask our panelists to predict what will be discovered in Washington, D.C. underneath all that snow once it melts. But first, let me tell you that support for NPR comes from NPR stations and CSX, whose trains move a ton of freight, 436 miles on 1 gallon of fuel, to help reduce fuel consumption. CSX, how tomorrow moves. The William T. Grant Foundation, supporting research to improve the lives of young people, online at wtgrantfoundation.org. And the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation, committed to building a more just, verdant, and peaceful world. More information at macfound.org. Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me is a production of NPR and Chicago Public Radio. In association with Urgent Haircut Productions, Doug Berman, executive producer, Philip Gotica writes our limericks. Our house manager is Don Hall. Our intern is Christine Fiedler. Our web guru, Beth Novi. Special thanks to Woody Freitag and the crew at the Brown Theater. BJ Liedemann composed our theme. Our program is produced by Ian Chillog, Eva Walchover, and Emily Ecton. Technical direction from Robert Newhouse and Lorna White. The senior producer of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me is Mike Danforth. Now, panel, what will they find once all the snow melts in Washington? Paula Poundstone.
Joe Lieberman with a snowblower. He seemed fine.
Kerry O'Connor.
They're going to find Judge Crater, Jimmy Hoffa, a Sasquatch, and the GOP health care plan.
And Tom Beaudet.
All that hopey, changey stuff.
And if any of those things are discovered, panel, we'll ask you about it on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Thank you, Carl Castle. Thanks also to Paula Poundstone, Kerry O'Connor, and Tom Beaudet. Thanks to Deborah Fraser and everyone at KUHF. Thanks to Lane Twining, Virginia Oxford, and the staff at the Wortham Center. Thanks to all our wonderful audience here at the Brown Theater in the Wortham Center in beautiful Houston, Texas. Man, you're nice. Thanks to all of you for listening. I am Peter Sagal, and we will see you next week. This is NPR.